Don't forget to check out the show details to find links to the articles I talk about, my YouTube channel, and books that I've written. And now it's time for the show.
Episode 38, Six Happiness Practices. Hey there, minimalists. I hope you are having an excellent week and that your minimalism is going excellently for you. We are in Bryce Canyon National Park right now, and it is beautiful. It does not disappoint at all. We've done some nice hikes. We've driven around on the rim and things like that. And the campground, it's really sweet. It's just been really nice. We have a new review this week. DMessenger615 says, "Very good tips. I enjoy this podcast very much. She gives awesome tips and information. I've learned a lot." Thank you so much, DMessenger. I really appreciate that. I just am in awe that people go and leave ratings or reviews or email me or message me on Instagram. It means so much to me. And I've gotten some really nice feedback this week that has been so special to me. So thank you so much for that kind of support. I really appreciate it. I actually want to address two things really quickly because I have been getting several messages about these two topics. First of all, I don't know why, but Apple Podcasts seems to be the only podcatcher that allows you to leave reviews. Most other podcast apps do not allow reviews. I think Podbean allows you to leave a comment. So if you are listening on something other than Apple Podcasts and would love to leave a review to support little me, which I would really appreciate, you can go onto Apple Podcasts on iPads, Mac, and also your iPhone and leave a review that way. If you don't have an Apple device, you could always go on to Podbean. I think that's the one that allows comments, or see if the app that you're listening on allows you to leave comments, because honestly, it is now on so many different apps and podcatchers that I don't know which ones allow comments and things like that. But you could check and see if what you're listening on allows you to leave a comment, which would be really sweet. You could also, if you have purchased my book, How to Be a Minimalist with Kids, Finding Your Kind of Minimalism, you could leave a review on Amazon or Goodreads for that. And all of those things are great ways that you can support the show, and they help definitely for it to be able to grow and for it to become sustainable, because at this point it is not necessarily financially sustaining, but I would love for it to become that way. Also, just to be clear, and to address the second thing, How to Be a Minimalist with Kids, Finding Your Kind of Minimalism was published, I think, 2 years ago now. So that one is out. My How to Be a Minimalist, a Beginner's Guide will be coming out very shortly. And I believe the next podcast episode will have details on that, because I think I am just about done with all of the things that I need to do for that. So that is another way that you can support the show as well. You can purchase my book, or if you've already got my book, awesome. And thank you so much for supporting the show by buying it. You can leave a review for it, and that'll be wonderful. Speaking of supporting the show, we have a new patron this week. Heather Ann, welcome to the Patron Club. Thank you so much for your support of the show, and I hope you enjoy your bonus exclusives. If you, audience, would like to get an extra 2 bonus exclusive episodes each month, completely fresh materials and topics, head on over to the Patreon link, which is in the details down below. There are several different patron tiers with various bonuses, but for just $3 each month, you can get those extra 2 episodes every month. And thank you for considering supporting the show. And Heather Ann, thanks for becoming a patron. For my personal update, I am finishing up my July personal challenge / experiment, which has been to listen to my life vision in third person, as well as all of the different things that I've been doing with my bullet journal and trying to make sure that I get all of my different tasks done. I really set out a very specific set of goals for the month, and it's been going wonderfully. Next episode, I'm going to talk all about how I have done this and kind of my personal challenge and experiment to myself to see if talking to yourself in third person, or listening to your life vision in third person, or using a vision board in third person really does make you wiser and help you make better choices. So far, I think it is.
And I know that you'll be listening to this when it is August, but of course I'm not done with my challenge yet. So I'm not going to be talking about it until next week, but I will give you the full scope of what happened in July next week. And I will tell you all about how I've done it so that you can try it too if you want to. My something interesting today comes from Healthline.com. It is called 9 Natural Ways to Boost Your Energy Levels. During the summertime, we are able to travel in our RV. And in fall, winter, spring, we generally speaking have to be stationary in our RV. So we like rent a spot and we park it and it works totally fine. But when we're stationary, we live in the Pacific Northwest and it rains a lot where we live. I know it's a blessing. I know that's what makes everything green. And I know it's generally a good thing. However, I really struggle with all of that rain and the cloud coverage. I grew up with wide open skies and sunshine almost every day of the year. And so it feels a little bit too cozy with all those clouds blanketing the skies. I don't really prefer it in the wintertime. So I've been really trying to focus on different ways that I can be positive through the winter and also ways that I can remind myself to get back on track if I am just feeling a little bit low on energy. So as I was reading some of these articles, one of the things that I noticed as I've been kind of preparing and deciding like, oh, I should share this with my audience because I bet other people could benefit from this for sure. But something I noticed was in the various articles that I read on both happiness and energy, almost all of them said to reduce your stress. This is something I have heard many times from various professional sources. I think it's funny that I read all these articles and they were also telling me reduce your stress. I feel like modern society brings with it a lot of little stressors. Not that previous generations haven't dealt with their own stresses. Of course they have. Every century has had its own struggles and different things that they've had to deal with. Absolutely. I guess, though, that all of the multitude of little stresses, even all of the various stresses that come from having a smartphone and having access to or being accessible to, all of the various things that we're accessible and have access to all day long can bring a tremendous amount of stress. They may not be stresses that you had to worry about 500 years ago. But those small stresses in my life have made me gravitate toward minimalism so much and try to implement it into any aspect of my life that I can, because it just has been so beautiful for me and my family. So I guess I'm not surprised that this article talked about removing stress from your life and all of the other ones when they were talking about either energy or boosting your happiness levels, they all talked about reduce your stress, reduce your stress. One of the interesting things that a couple of the articles talked about was that it takes up a tremendous amount of energy to be stressed. I know this, but it was kind of interesting to see the various articles that talked about that, and it just made me feel even more strongly like I need to continue working on this and putting into perspective those things that I'm struggling through. One of the most interesting things that I read in various articles was to hang out with good friends. And this particular article, they go through various topics such as stay hydrated, you've got to remove the stress, avoid added sugar, get rest, things like that. But my favorite one was be social. And it says, social connections are incredibly important for maintaining good health. In areas of the world with unusually low rates of disease and a high number of centenarians, people who live to be over 100 years old, one of the common factors is a strong social support network. Social isolation can cause low mood and tiredness, especially as you get older. In fact, people with stronger social networks are thought to have better physical and mental health as they age. Various articles, almost every single one that I read, talked about hanging out with friends, but also, well, and being social. But talked a lot about having good company and making sure that those were good sources of positivity for you. And I thought that was really interesting because it makes sense that if you try to be social and then you hang out with people that are full of negativity, you may or may not be uplifted by that at all. It may actually take you in the direction you're not wanting to go.
While I am saying that these are six happiness practices, these are things that I try to strive for in my life just to keep myself energetic and positive. But if you need professional help, definitely you should seek it out. This is not professional help. I am not a professional. These are just six things that I like to do to help me as I see my energy getting a little lower or just needing a little bit more positivity in my life. For my number one, I love to go and just participate in some light body movement whenever I'm feeling a little bit low on energy or I'm experiencing some negativity, like I'm ruminating or I am struggling to see myself clearly through a problem I'm having. I like to go on walks or hikes and I like to stretch. There are so many different things that you can get a little light body movement in. Whenever I am able to get some light movement, I always have some clarity and it usually shifts my focus and I'm able to have more positive energy. It's amazing how even just a little bit of movement can kind of get you going and headed in a better direction. My second happiness practice would be to look at my successes. Sometimes I don't appreciate what I've done and I don't stop and look at the good things that I've been able to accomplish, even if it's, you know, just making sure that I folded the laundry when it came out of the dryer. Sometimes we need to give ourselves a little bit more credit instead of just looking for the next thing that we have to get checked off of our list. Appreciating those small tasks or major accomplishments is really important. I've noticed that as I have tried to slow down and really appreciate and savor those good things, it has left less room in my mind for negativity, and I have been able to spend more time thinking about positive things and the good, happy accomplishments that I am getting taken care of instead of, you know, getting down on myself for the things I haven't accomplished for the day. It definitely allows me to change my focus, and when I'm more positive, I'm absolutely more able to get something good done. If I'm down on myself, then I have to drag myself out of that hole first, because negativity is, for me anyway, it is like this horrible pit and it's really hard to get out of it. So I have to get myself out of that first, and then I have to gear myself up and say, no, you can accomplish this thing, and then I have to go and get it done. So it's actually a waste of my time and energy to be negative all the time. Looking at my successes and appreciating them, even if that kind of sounds silly to be like, wow, good job, self, you did the dishes. It's actually a really good thing. And you don't have to be cheesy about it. You can just stand back and look at your kitchen and say, wow, I love it when my kitchen's like this. It feels really good. It's really important to take a look at our successes and appreciate them. It's definitely added to my happiness in my life to just ditch the negativity. It's not doing me any good anyway. I know this one is super personal, so I'm not going to talk about it a lot, but I think it's something that I know for me, I can get out of tune with. So I'm going to go ahead and put it here. You do what you want with it. I would say that for one of my happiness practices, it's to get in touch with my higher power. For me, I'm Christian, but for you, it may be the universe, it may be nature, maybe Buddha, maybe Allah, whoever your higher power is. If you haven't gotten in touch lately, or if you just like to focus on spirituality, whatever it is for you, if you haven't done that lately, it's a really great way to kind of tune into yourself and get back on track if you're a little bit off track, or to just have a little boost for the day. My next happiness practice that I really try hard to implement into my life is to intake uplifting information. As I've been thinking about how I can be a more positive and energetic person to be around so that I can, you know, be a good influence in people's lives and be uplifting and refreshing, I've realized that what is in my brain is what I have to share. Now, they may sound obvious, but I went through a period where, I was taking a lot of time to be on various forms of media, and I found that there was a lot of negativity in my head, and that's all I had to talk about. I really didn't have much else to talk about. I am so much more of a happier person if I am not entrenched in all of the negativity that can be in the media.
I'm not naive. I know there are bad things that happen out there, and I sincerely hope that they change, that people change for the better, and that people focus on positivity. If people would focus on positivity, then a lot less bad things would happen. I only have so much energy in the day, and while I do dip in and I find out what's going on in the world and things like that, I find that I have so much more positive energy to put good things into the world if I'm not focusing on the trenches of the media. I want to use my energy for good and for putting light out. That's why I spend all this time on this podcast and my books and different things like that. I want to put good things out. And if I am full of negativity, I cannot put positivity out. It just doesn't work that way for me. I end up becoming entrenched and I become less creative. I begin to ruminate. I feel helpless. I feel hopeless. And it's just not good for me in being able to do my job of raising my children to be the people I hope they become and my home and all this stuff that I'm doing with as an author and podcaster. I can't. It doesn't work for me that way. I think there are people that can intake a lot of negative information and they're fine. They just go with it. And it probably depends on the way in which they are given that information. For me though, it doesn't work. So I have to be very careful. I have to limit my intake of negativity and I have to really focus on intaking positive and uplifting information. Josiah, my husband, was telling me about this article that he'd read where this guy says that grabbing your phone and immediately getting onto any form of media first thing in the morning is like grabbing a bag of potato chips and a hot fudge sundae for breakfast. It's probably not going to make you feel great throughout the day. Every time I find myself indulging in a lot of negative information intake, I think about that. I'm like, okay, it's time to get some fruits and veggies. Let's get some positive stuff going here. I guess that's where there's a difference between learning about something and figuring out how you can modify your actions. And then there's a difference in ruminating on that negativity or cycling through various articles or social media posts that are all just entrenching you in that topic. Maybe you're even indulging in, you know, quote unquote, your side and, you know, just getting in arguments online or different things like that. I see some of that. I really have never participated in that. All of that makes me feel super uncomfortable. And I don't think many people change their opinions when they're in an argument. Most of the time, debates and arguments just entrench people further into their beliefs that they previously had. I have learned that those two differences are what are healthy for me and in keeping my information intake positive and also being informed. My last happiness practice is one that I have actually come to very recently with a light bulb moment. I totally had an epiphany about gratitude. I'm going to call this last happiness practice living joyfully grateful. A lot of times growing up, I heard, you know, be grateful for what you have and a lot of things that were implied with a little side of guilt as I was being told to be grateful. Now, I understand that being grateful is really important and I am grateful. I am so grateful for everything that I have. I know that in my travels, I've seen various different lifestyles. There are people that have way more than I do and have much more financial security than I do, have what appears to be a more perfect life than I do. And I have seen people on the opposite end of the spectrum. I will tell you that I am grateful for my problems. I am grateful for my life, and I think there is nothing wrong with a person wanting to improve their life and to live their best life. There's absolutely nothing wrong with that. No one should feel bad about that. And I guess that's what has always kind of given me a difficult time when I've thought about gratitude, because I'm grateful for the things that I have. I absolutely am. I am grateful for my life. I know what I have. I know what I've worked hard for, and I know the things that I've just lucked out on. The thing for me is, though, that I've always wanted to progress.
I've always had that ever since I was a kid. I've had that drive. I've always wanted to progress. I have journals from when I'm like 7 where I made New Year's resolutions. I just have always loved that idea of continual self-improvement. I'm pretty sure that's why I read a stack of like 6 cleaning books that my mom sent to me when I was 20, because I was like, oh, I can get better at this. It's a great challenge. It'll be awesome. Sometimes when gratitude is implied with guilt, though, there's this feeling that if you want more or want something different or want something better, that you should feel bad about that. And that's absolutely wrong. And that's a negative source, perhaps a source of envy or jealousy that are bringing those thoughts to you. I'm definitely not blaming any one specific source. And I think people even tried to explain this to me before. I've watched various YouTube videos, read various articles, and had various conversations about the topic of gratitude with a lot of different people and sources. But it's never hit me until I watched this YouTube video. It was from the Gem Goddess. If you watch her YouTube videos, she does a lot of law of attraction and also like predictions and stuff. So Hi Carpana referred a video to her audience on one of her somewhat recent YouTube videos. So I clicked on it and I was very surprised. It was not what I was expecting, but the gal had a lot of great things to say. She was talking about kind of some law of attraction stuff, and that if we live passionately and do everything with passion, that things will improve. And one little sentence that she said really stuck out to me. I cannot remember exactly what she said, but she said, if you're doing your dishes, do them with passion and just be so grateful that you have dishes and that you had food to cook. And I can't remember what else she said, but it hit me that that is the kind of gratitude that I want to have, because she was talking about living with this passion and being grateful and being happy and joyful about these things. And that is what I've been missing for a long, long, for all these years. I was always like, kind of like, yes, I'm very grateful that I have that. And it wasn't insincere at all. Of course I'm grateful. Absolutely, I'm grateful. The thing that I was missing, though, was finding that joy in it and finding that gratitude because of happiness, not because of guilt. And those are two really different places. And maybe I'm not making any sense at all. I'm really trying here, though, to make sense, because I think that a lot of people feel this way. I think there are a lot of people that think that to strive for more is wrong. It's not. If you have more, then not have more actually, like physically, because this is a podcast on minimalism. But if you have more resources, you can help others. If you are living your best life, you can be an example to others. You can pull people into your best life and let them enjoy that with you. There are so many ways that improving your life can improve others' lives, and we can be a light kind of to others and help to them, and positive energy for other people. And we could all use a little bit more of that, probably. So when this lady was talking about doing things with passion, it just flipped on a switch about living joyfully grateful. I watched that video, I think a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. And since then, I have changed so many ways of doing things. When I wake up in the morning, if I'm like, oh, I did not get enough sleep last night, I remember this gal, this gem goddess, and I'm like, no, I'm going to wake up with passion. So then I'm like, wow, I'm really excited for this day. I am excited about the things I've got planned. I'm excited to go on this hike with my family. I'm excited about the good foods I'm going to eat for breakfast. I'm so grateful that I have foods to eat for breakfast. I am really trying to be more grateful in a living way. It's just helping me to be more grateful in a joyful way, not out of guilt. With my July challenge of accomplishing my tasks with that whole third person life vision, it has been really interesting to see the positivity that my July challenge has brought into my life, but combined with just being really happy about different things. Happy, I'm on a walk. Happy at seeing a sunrise and just being so grateful for it and different things like that. I have felt a lot of change within myself and so much more positivity than I used to experience. It makes me really hopeful about when we return to the rain, that I will be able to deal with it a lot better and be able to retain my higher energy levels, which is what I really want. So having all of this positivity has been a really good thing for me, and I've been really happy that some of these practices have been allowing me to have more energy and to be a more positive person for myself. But I also feel like I have been a better positive energy to be around for my family and friends. So I'm hoping that these practices will continue to help me as we move into that kind of gloomy weather. My minimalist challenge for you would be that if you're looking to add a little bit of positivity or have a little bit of a higher energy level, to try one of these practices that sounds appealing to you and see how you can kind of modify it to make it work for you, because these are my happiness practices. Of course, they'll work a little differently for you. And of course, if you need professional help and you just are in need, then definitely seek that out. I've definitely benefited from professional help in the past, and it has been a really positive thing for me, even though sometimes it's really hard to deal with. I hope that you have an excellent minimalist week. I hope that you are able to add a little bit of positivity to your life. And remember, it is all about the experiences, not the stuff.
I hope you enjoyed the show. With so many listening options, I'm glad you joined me today. If you'd like to support the show, please consider leaving a review, sharing with others, or becoming a patron. You can support the show for as little as $1 a month. For $3 a month, you will have access to 2 bonus exclusive episodes. Thanks for being here.